White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 720.
This is Butch Thompson, head baseball coach of the Auburn Tigers. You're listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast, War Eagle.
There's baseball, there's softball, there's basketball, and the portal still hasn't closed on football. The AU Wishbone is next.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown,
Palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois, and on assignment in Northern Illinois, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you, and where are you?
I'm here in Chicago, man. I'm very excited to talk about Big Ten football with you tonight.
We are both in the great state of Illinois for once. You're up at the top end. I'm kind of three-quarters of the way down the left side. But it's really weird to both be in the same state when we're not hanging out together. That's interesting. It's cool. So I am your host, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
So, yeah. So we've got John on the road here. But he has dialed us up and tuned us in so we can carry on as somewhat normal. That's awesome. And we got a lot of stuff to kind of get through. This is one of those episodes tonight where my wife would say, "What do y'all even have to talk about?" I'm like, "Oh, we got like 3 hours worth of stuff that we're going to cram into about an hour and change, right?" So we probably better get on to it. So the first thing we got to do is catch up on our second ever installment of the Auburn Fun Meter. There it is. Yes, I told you we'd have music. So, the Auburn Fun Meter, we introduced this, we rolled this out as a prototype last week, where John and I each give a number between 0 and 10 of how much fun we are currently having being an Auburn fan. And you can include as much in that as you want to or as little. It's entirely a subjective thing. But we are also curious what our listeners think in terms of what number between 0 and 10. So, shall we flip a coin to see who goes first this time?
Well, I before we do that, I want to say the results from last week as a baseline.
Okay.
You were at a 7, and I was at a 5.5.
Okay. 7 and a 5.5. It's not vastly different, but it is different enough that it shows how subjective it really is because it's also kind of, in a way, a kind of glass is half full, glass is half empty kind of a thing. So, you know, and not saying good or bad or one is better than the other or whatever, but it's just, I think this is more interesting than I even thought it was going to be because it's really going to allow us to look at what we're most focused on, right, and how we're reacting to it individually. And the listeners too. So this is kind of interesting. It's kind of a psychological experiment, not just a dumb feature I thought of to fill a couple of minutes at the beginning of the show. So that being said, who goes first?
You can go first.
All right. I will. Well, there's only been one bit of news going on in the Auburn community this past week that's been kind of a downer. And I know virtually nothing about it and don't care to know anything about it until there is official announced fallout, okay? So it has almost no impact on me. Based on what's been going on in all the various sports and been going on in recruiting and transfers right now, I am at about an 8.5 this week. I am loving it. I'm having a lot of fun being an Auburn fan this week. Very excited. And man, that transfer portal, I mean, every time I look up, there goes that TARDIS slipping by with Dr. Freeze in it. And so I'm having a good time. How about you?
I was going to make a joke how the way you started that was very general. And I was like, are you talking about the softball team? I would say I'm a six. Again, my part of this is about what is our definition of having fun, right?
Yeah.
There's no games going on. There's a limited amount of activity. There's baseball going on, but I don't watch all the baseball games and softball's over. So I'm like, yeah, we got some good transfers and I'm happy about that. But I'm not dancing on the ceiling or anything about it. I feel pretty good about it. So I'm going to say a six.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I mean is it's not an indictment either way or anything like that. It's an interesting look at what we're thinking about, how we're reacting to it, how we value it. And it's funny when Andy and I do the Babylon 5 review show, we watched some really good episodes early on, but we only gave them like a 3 out of 5. And we made it very clear to our audience, we're like, these were good episodes, but we have the benefit of knowing what's coming, right?
Yeah.
We know what's coming. And so you're saying you're at like a 6 because you know what like winning the Iron Bowl is like. Whereas I'm just saying, how happy am I being an Auburn fan this week? Pretty darn happy. And so I can't take much away from it. And so I'm making like an 8.5. So we're just coming at it from different directions.
Yeah, it's very reasonable. And I'm, you know, a part of it is also just like, we talked about this last week. You love the anticipating now. And I'm like, I can't let myself get excited.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. All right, so I'm hoping that maybe in our listener questions, we might have gotten a couple of replies from people. We'll see. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. All right, so do you want to address the whole what's swirling around thing or just not address it? Because the only thing I know about it, and this is the Jarquez Hunter thing, the only thing I know about it is that apparently it's been going on over a year, which means it has nothing to do with Freeze, and goes all the way back well into...
Potato!
That's right. So I'm not blaming him either. I'm just saying you can't say this is something that has anything to do with Freeze, right? So
I think this is young people being young people and doing stuff. But also, I mean, multiple student athletes have been suspended with no names and no set deadlines. That's what we know.
Yeah, that's...
So anything more than that is not known.
Right. We don't even know the people. I mean, officially, right? Yeah.
That's so, right.
Well, there you go.
So, I think that's enough said on that.
Yeah. All right. So, the softball ladies, we talked about last week about how they had to go to Clemson rather than, I guess, having their own regional.
Regional.
And they did. And they actually beat Clemson one game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they played him again because it's that weird double elimination deal. They had to come back and play him again. And in the second one, didn't have all their guns, I guess, that they did the first time, right? And so they didn't.
A great pitcher can't pitch every game.
No, unfortunately.
And they lost, so they're out. And then today, our best young hitter announced she was transferring away.
Oh no.
Bree Ellis, who was just named Freshman of the Year in – SEC softball, and she is transferring away. So we have some mailbag comments about the softball team, as you might expect. So we could save some of that for them.
Yeah, that's depressing. I didn't know any of that, so oh well. Well, in other news, the baseball team. Tell us what's going on with the baseball team. They're kicking butt, right?
Continue to win. Continue the hot streak that we've talked about, and now we're heading into SEC tournament play, and Auburn is the fifth seed in the SEC tournament, traditionally held in Hoover.
Yep.
And they will face off Tuesday against Missouri. And I'm not positive about the time for that game yet, but I'll get it. So it's Tuesday on the SEC network from Hoover. We will play Missouri in the first game, then win and keep going.
Didn't they just play Missouri?
Yeah, they played them in a series recently. But this is just how the seedings broke out.
Yeah.
We're the 5 and they're the 12, so we're playing.
So we're the 5. Okay, so, but in the last month or so, Auburn has taken a series from LSU and from South Carolina, so they're playing much better now than they were earlier.
Oh, yeah, and then kind of really dominated the Ole Miss and Missouri when we played them. So Teams playing great, way better. And the other part is just SEC baseball is the best college baseball by a mile right now. So Auburn is in a, you know, pretty strong position. So looking to, you know, come out of this and host a regional after this tournament.
Right. I like it. Good. Well, yeah, because they're a fifth seed. They're going to play Missouri, and then they got a bye, didn't they? At least one to get to the, because they were fifth or whatever. I feel like they got to skip at least the opening round, maybe the second round or something. I think that's.
I'm not positive that's how the baseball tournament works, but I will check.
Oh, okay. All right. I may be thinking about softball or something. I don't know. Anyway, got a lot of noise going on in the background here. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Anyway. All right, on to football, because we talked about the one thing, so we're not going to go back to that. We got a number of more transfer portal dudes. We had already gotten Shorter, Nixon, and Craig going. Well, Craig went to Arizona. He's the one we didn't get. Yeah. I think we ended up getting like five in the last week, didn't we? Since the last time we talked. Three. We got a group of three, and then we got a group of two.
Yes. So we started out, you know, kind of immediately after on last week's podcast, we were talking about, are we done?
Right.
Is the portal Christmas morning thing going away?
Yeah.
For a while. And then we got five players. So Jair Shorter, Larry Nixon the third. We're from Texas State. We're the first two players. Yeah. So let's talk about them first, and then we'll go to the other guys.
They're the ones I thought was funny that Zach Blackaby said, we called up a couple of guys from our farm team in Texas.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas State was not terrible, right. But they're very talented players. I mean, Nixon was a very, very productive linebacker, and Shorter was one of the best big play receivers in college football last year.
Wait, what? Who's the linebacker?
Nixon.
Well, I'm not a crook.
I was ready, brother. Give me three or four days to prepare, and I'm gonna hook you up, man.
You should just bring that back out all during the season.
You know, John. The people of Auburn need to know if their linebackers are crooks. Well,
I'm not a crook.
That's right. I earned every down I played.
Wow. Not bad.
Have you met Checkers? Checkers is my dog. We're not giving her back. My wife, Pat, has a Pat die. My wife, Pat die, has a nice cloth coat. We're not giving Checkers back, John. Moving on.
So...
here in your Belinda.
Jerry, I want to go back to this. Jerry Shorter, the kind of player that Hugh Freeze wants in his offense, a big, tall, physical wide receiver who is a big play waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, average like 20 yards a catch, touchdown every few catches. He was incredibly productive. A huge big play weapon to add to the players on this roster. This receiving room has been completely rebuilt, Van.
Oh, it's incredible. I've got a list of our receivers that have come in here in just a second, but let's get through the new ones first, and then we'll kind of look at it.
So, I mean, Shorter, I'm as excited about him as any player we've got. It's not in the transfer portal, because I think that guy is going to be really exciting in this offense.
Well, and then the new receiver, too. I mean, the two of them, Hooks. It just sounds crazy.
Hooks from Jackson State, yes.
Yes. Yeah, you sent me a thing a couple of days ago that we got this guy from Jackson State, and I was kind of like, yawn. And then I found out, oh, that's the guy that made Deion Sanders look so good. That was his That was his Jackson State guy that looked so good. Not his Colorado guy that looked good. He went to Arizona, but this is the one that was doing so well for him last year at Jackson State. So could have gone to Colorado maybe, but instead came to Auburn, baby. And I'm pretty excited about it.
And then we got a defensive end named Sings from Liberty. Another position of need, another player we could fill in there, and a position and a guy that Freeze and his coaching staff are obviously very familiar with, that they were willing to take him as a transfer. And then today we got a transfer from a cornerback from New Mexico
named
Cyrus Dumas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Van, this guy, Cyrus Dumas from New Mexico, he played in 20 games in New Mexico. He had 83 tackles, including 61 solo, and 8 tackles for loss. He had 4 interceptions and 15 pass breakups.
That sounds good to me.
I agree. I think it is good. I think he clearly was making plays out there. And I think, you know, we talked during spring practice how, you know, the fourth cornerback was a true freshman we just signed. And if anything happens to the starters, then we're going to be playing guys. Maybe we're not positive we're ready to play against SEC teams up and down. And we know we're going to play four or five corners on a regular basis in this defense. So this was a good, you know, veteran defensive back who could come in and help at a position. You know, it wasn't a position of desperate need like early on offensive line or pass rusher, but a position where we could use some other experienced, talented depth, and we got it.
Where did he come in from?
New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. Yeah, that's right. Good deal.
I'm sorry, New Mexico State, even worse.
Well, so there's a world of difference there for the average Auburn fan. I mean, I'm like, oh, New Mexico State. Oh, okay, right. If it had been New Mexico, I'd been like, man, I don't know about all that. But New Mexico State, now see, I have no clue what the difference is. But they're
both,
you know,
terrible in football.
I like that it's called New Mexico State because there are still plenty of Americans that don't understand that New Mexico is a state. So you put that state on there just to kind of, you know, give them a little help. Give them a little hint.
That's right. So what were you going to say about the receivers?
Oh, well, we got the other receiver, the one from Jackson State. And so the receiving room now, so here's kind of how I had it broken down for me, and I'll pass this along. Hooks is 6'5", 190, can stretch the field. We've got 6'5", 190 Nick Mardner on the other side. So you're going to have two 6'5", 190-pound receivers, conceivably, although I don't know they'll both be on the field at the same time, but because Mardner's kind of come along slow. And by the way, I did see that there was some talk that there are some people coming in that may have academic difficulties qualifying for fall. So, you know, when Freeze goes out and gets players, and you're like, oh, we're getting another one of those, I don't know, but it could be, you know, just insurance in case somebody doesn't academically get eligible. Okay, so again, you got Hooks and Mardner, both huge. Cam Brown is 6'3". Jair Shorter is 6'2", belying his name. Mardner 6'5". Shane Hooks is 6'5". Coy Moore 6'1". He's the shortest of them. Malcolm Johnson Jr., you can call me Ray or you can call me Jay, is 6'1". Omari Kelly is 6'2". And then in the slot, Johnson, Fair, and Burton. I mean, this is a team that's got size. This is a receiver's room, as the kids say, that has size and it has speed. Where was, you know, this is just a complete facelift, a complete overhaul from anything it looked like we were going to have 3 months ago. It's amazing.
Yes. It's now approaching the level of the offensive line makeover where the it's not recognizable from what it was.
Well, I mean, like, think about this. So our offense goes out there, and you've got a brand new offensive line for the most part. You got probably a new quarterback. You've got a new tight end. You got all these new receivers. Potentially, and now for a completely different reason, now we don't know if the running back's going to be somebody quite as familiar to us. It may be Damari Alston. We don't know. But
Brian Petit.
Yeah. We could have a completely different offense, almost 11 out of 11. I think there's still a couple offensive linemen, right, that hung around. But
Again, it could be one guard.
Yeah.
Could be the difference there in the running back. Those are the only positions that are a question, even, I think.
And that means that what's his name that does the giant magazine I make fun of?
Phil Steele.
Phil Steele's going to be like, oh, I'm down on Auburn because they're only returning one starter on offense. Be like, Phil, that's good that we're only returning one starter on offense. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So, yeah, that's and then going forward, we may try to add another offensive tackle. There's one we're looking at in Mississippi, I believe, Marcus Bell. We're going to keep on trying to get an edge player until we just can't get any more players in, but we're going to keep trying. Other than that, and other than maybe running back, I hate to say it.
Well, I think Justin Ferguson put this out the other day that Auburn has added, like, I think it's like 10,000 snaps of playing time.
That's incredible.
In this offseason.
I mean, you know, this is, again, the team that goes out there on the field next year is not going to have much resemblance at all really on either side of the ball, but particularly on offense, to anything we've seen before. And that just is mind-blowing. We're just in a different age. It's a weird combination of different rules and a different coach with different priorities and different abilities than what we've had before. And when you put those two together, man, I'm telling you, I've said it all along, I couldn't be happier with how things are going with football right now. Well, again, with the obvious glaring, question. All right, anything else?
I got one more. Yep. One more J.R. Shorter stat for you.
Oh, boy.
Auburn as a team had 4 passing plays of over 50 yards last season. J.R. Shorter himself had 4 over 50 yards.
Well, I remember one of them last year was probably the one where Robbie kept running at LSU, right? And they kept coming up to stop him. And finally, he just chucked it downfield and we scored a touchdown. That had to be one of them. Yeah, that was like the best play we ran the whole season before Cadillac took over was pound your head against the brick wall until they fall asleep and then just throw it over their heads and they're not paying any attention because they've decided that clearly you're incompetent. They don't have to really play defense and then you catch them like that, see? So it was that or the old meatballs trick where you pull their pants down and then jump on the bus and take off. So chucking it over their head was as good of an option as that, I think. All right, basketball.
More news on the basketball front. Jani Broome approaching decision date is until the end of May to decide if he's going to stay in the NBA draft or not, or come back to Auburn and hope he can improve his stock.
He
was at the G League combine thing, and then he was in the regular draft combine.
Mm-hmm.
No players who were in that position last year got drafted. And his game, I really think his game and his style of play and his athleticism don't make him a guy that's going to be a big draft prospect. So it's really just a question of, does he want to be a second round pick and, bounce around and attempt to get to the NBA that way? Or does he want to come back to Auburn and try to improve his stock that way?
Well, the way it was laid out to me is that he has some two-way contracts, whatever that means, offered to him. They're kind of like NBA minor league contracts where you play in the G League but can be called up to the NBA, and they're worth about $500,000 annually. He has until May 31st to decide, and we would have to either give him competitive NIL money or, convince him that he'd make a lot more money if he comes back to school for another year, some combination of that, and, convince him that he'd rather come back and go to school for a year than be a professional basketball player, even if it's making less money than he'd make if he came back for another year. So there's a lot of variables, in other words, right? There's a lot of moving parts to it, and he just has to kind of decide. But I tell you what, I don't think it would be catastrophic for us, but it would be bad. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to go pro when the season ended, and we've pretty much done our recruiting and our transferring for this coming basketball season. Could Bruce even have time to go out and start trying to get – I mean, what can you do?
Well, I think you're limited to what's in the portal.
Yeah.
At that moment. I think it's the deadline for players to enter is passed, so he would be looking around at some of the – lesser centers that are still available. So.
And the ones that are still available now that haven't already gotten a good offer and gone somewhere, which is why would anybody that's good still be hanging around, right? It's going to be rejects and stuff. So, oh, man. I mean, Bruce has coached us before without any kind of a five, I guess you'd say a center, right? But it's not the position we really want to be in. I mean,
It's that I think Broome could be the best player in the team if he comes back. I think he was really good last year, really dependable on both sides of the floor. And I think if he got better as the year went along in a lot of ways. And so I was excited to see what he could do.
I mean, Akinbola would be like, man, now you got no center and you need somebody? Really? Now? So Dylan Cardwell is going to get a lot of playing time regardless, it looks like. I don't know that we want him to be our number one, number two, and number three option. So, yeah.
No.
We love Dylan, but you need – he's a good backup and a good, throw some fouls down, give some energy, get some dunks, and then go sit down again. Play defense, but, yeah. So we'll see. Now, I was going to say – when that happens, one option for a team is to become a three-point shooting team, right? Just abandon the middle. But we know that this team can't do that because we've already seen what happens when this team shoots threes, except for our new guy.
Well, and not just him.
Yeah.
They have signed three players that are all excellent three-point shooters. The new guy, Chad Baker-Mazzara, is about a 6'7 wing who is a really, really good three-point shooter.
One number I saw on him was like 47%, which is insane. Yes.
He's a good 40% in Division I games. He's played in the NCAA tournament before. He transferred to a junior college in Florida last year, played there. But if you watch the video of him, he's a big guy who can – a tall guy who plays on the outside and can just stand out there and get his shot off.
Hmm.
So Justin Ferguson had this stat in a column yesterday or today. The three guys we got as transfers, Denver Jones, Chaney Johnson, and Chad Baker-Mazzara, have a combined three-point shooting percentage of 39.1%.
That's about 30% better than what we had from anybody last year.
You're joking. If you take the players that left the team and the players that came on the team, we are legitimately 10% better at shooting three-pointers.
Not for while you can, the monkey boy.
That's right. That's right. No, that's – I mean
– if Broom comes back or not, in either case, this is going to be a team. And that I didn't include Aiden Holloway in that because he was coming out of high school and didn't have college stats.
Right.
You're going to have some players who can stand around the three-point line but also get to it on the fast break and make threes and open up the court in ways we could not last year.
I mean, this has got a chance to be a really good Auburn basketball team if we can just keep Jani Broom. Just if we can keep him – and bring in these new players and mesh, and it usually takes them a few weeks, obviously. This could be a team that wins an SEC tournament game.
Yes. Yes, it could.
I still can't believe the last SEC tournament basketball game Auburn won was over Tennessee for the SEC championship in 2019. That's just talk about crazy statistics. That just doesn't even seem possible. And, I mean, it wouldn't have been, you know, there's no reason to think the 2020 team wouldn't have won at least a couple of games because they were playing really well at the end. That was a great team. But they didn't get to. So it remains a fact that the last Auburn team to win an SEC tournament game was the Final Four team. As I always say, Auburn has played in the Final Four since, more recently than, we won an SEC tournament basketball game. I know that we have friends and listeners on Twitter and everything that think that when I say that, it's just a dumb statistic and I'm just being hateful or something. I just think it's weird. And the only reason I'm just fascinated with it just because it's such a strange. It's like saying, you know, I've been to Mars, but I've never been to Mississippi. You know what I mean? It's just a weird statistic. It's just one of those strange things. So, well, anyway, so Chad Baker-Mazzara sounds good. We needed a wing. A wing or a leg, a thigh, a couple of original recipes, and we got one, so that's good. That's good. There is a football-related thing I wanted to talk about here before we take our break, and that is that, and I don't like to normally play up things that AL.com does necessarily because they, you know, they have a certain reputation to consider. Among the Auburn folks, which is that they are pretty biased against us usually, it seems like. We certainly like to think so anyway, whether it's true or not, and I'm not saying it's not. But they are doing like an NCAA tournament bracket, but it's a bracket of the greatest Auburn football teams in Auburn history. And I caught a little bit of the early part, but the last time I checked, and it may already be done for all I know, I don't know, but here's where it stood the last time I checked. I just want to run this by you and the listeners and see what y'all think, okay? One of the things I noted was that they're the round of eight, right? The Elite Eight. And of those eight that won in the previous round, six of them were more recent than the team they beat. So there is a noticeable recency bias, right? They tended to, the voters tend to, in some cases, overwhelmingly vote for teams that are more recent. So here are the, I want to run quickly through the eight that made the final eight, okay, and get your impressions on it. 2013 is in there. I kind of am in reverse order here. 2013 is in. 2010, the Cam team is in, and they're the number one seed overall. 2004 is in, and they're the number two seed overall. 1993 is in, and this is the one I knew you would object to, you'd take issue with. 1993 got in by defeating 1988 in the previous round. Yeah. I don't know that 93 could beat 88. I think they could be competitive with them. I don't think 93 scores many points against 88. I think they get like 6 points, if that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. 93's offense is pretty good, though. That was be
Frank
be
good, Sanders, Pat, yeah, Stan
good
White,
running game.
Stephen Davis, Bostic, James Bostic. I don't know. 1989 is in. They're good. Yeah, they by winning that Iron Bowl, that alone made them legendary. They were not the greatest Auburn team ever the rest of the season. 1986, again, that was the first real passing team in modern Auburn history since Sullivan. 83, I don't think we have any doubt about that. And then 1957 is the oldest one. So every team that's in the final eight is either from the 80s or 93 or the 2000s, except for 1957. So the 13 team got knocked out. And 2017 got knocked out. Those are two that I remember particularly. They remember 2017 has a really nice resume. They can say they beat two number one teams. As great as the 2004 team was, they didn't come close to beating two number one ranked teams in their season.
That's fair.
So that's they beat them both impressively by double digits.
To me, that team is in the same league as like 86 or 89, right?
Yeah.
I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that 17 team, if they hadn't had that meltdown in LSU.
Well, we talked about this a million times during that season. They needed another running back.
They need another running back for sure. Oh, if they had just had the big guy from 16 on that team healthy.
Yep.
Oh, God. How good that would have been. They would play for the national championship, I think. All right, so a lot of recency bias. And I would point out, too, remember back in 2020 during the pandemic thing, we actually did an entire episode of 2004 against 2010 play-by-play. So I don't know the episode number or anything, but if you go on to our if you go on to auwishbone.podbean.com, and you just kind of click back a few pages to 2020, you can find the episode where we did the entire game like it was a live game that John and I were like doing the broadcast for. And that was a lot of fun. So, and you can find out who wins, because I don't even remember who won. I forgot which one of them won, but I'm not, and I don't want to give it away. Let the folks go and check it out and have a good time. But
and
did
funny,
you have any
nobody
other?
Nobody has hired us for play-by-play work since we rolled that out.
I was really shocked. Yeah. So do you have any thoughts about those eight teams being left, and how do you kind of see it breaking down?
I think 2004, 2010 are the heavy hitters in there. I don't know how to evaluate 1957 against those teams. And
yeah.
83 was good, but we were also running the wishbone.
No passing game at all on that team.
No passing game at all. So I have a hard time believing that kind of thing would work against like the 2004 defense.
Yeah.
Or the 88, 89 defense.
See, I feel like 88 is better than any team on this list except maybe 04 and 10. I mean, the 88 team probably better than 2013.
It was a great team. A great team. Again, the stupid earthquake game in Baton Rouge away from playing Notre Dame in the national title and beating the crap out of them. So.
Yes. I would like to see Nick Marshall and Trey Mason trying to run their 2013 offense against the 88 defense. I think they get stopped in the backfield as much as not.
Yeah, but they had a lot of speed on that team too, so that would be a real problem.
That's true.
88 was a different era of slower guys. So,
well, that's a big part of it is era against era. So it's really just kind of greatness against greatness is how I really think I should look at it. So, and I just think the 88 team was greater than most of these teams that are still left. So anyway, yeah, and then that gets us down to 2010 versus 2004. So again, go listen to our podcast on that episode, on that game, and you can find out what happened. All right. Any other business before we take a quick break here and thank the patrons?
That's enough business.
We do not have a Fantasy Formula One update this week because last weekend's race was canceled due to flooding in Italy. But on Sunday, this coming Sunday, is the Monaco Grand Prix, which is the most boring Formula One race of all, but it is kind of a spectacle. It's the one you watch for the spectacle, not really for the exciting racing. The problem is that it's a winding street course through the streets of Monaco, and like 40, 50 years ago, when Formula One cars were small and zippy, they could, you know, pass each other and actually compete on that street. But today, the cars are so big, they are so wide, it's almost impossible to pass. You literally might, you know, out of the top 10 cars in Monaco this coming weekend, you might see, out of the top 10, you might see three overtakes in the entire race if you're lucky. This is a race where Daniel Ricciardo a few years ago won because his engine was crapping out and he was going like half speed, but just nobody could get around him on the last 10 laps. He just drove down the middle of the street and they couldn't get around him, and he won going like 70 miles an hour. It's unbelievable how bad of a race it is, but we'll have some more points. But for everybody, for our players, if you want to play, go to the Patreon page and there's a link. We also have the Indianapolis 500 coming up this weekend, which is one of my favorite sporting events of the year every year. I'm really looking forward to that. All right, so let me thank our patrons. We have to point out, as always, John, that we do not have ads. We do have inane, wacky banter, but we do not have ads on this program. And so, as a consequence, our patrons keep the ball rolling, right? Keep the team on the field. And so if you want to join their ranks and do your part, go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button to become a patron, or just go to patreon.com and look for the AU Wishbone. It's really simple. And you can put anything in your name space on there when you sign up that you want, and that is what I read. And some people put audio sound clip cues, so to tell me what to play. Here we go with the fine folks who are currently supporting the show. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Boris the Tiger's burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Logan Chilton, Ann Kangian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says... I cut him off right there because you're going to hear it again. Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. Auburn is indeed the only team from the state of Alabama to make the Final Four. And if you say otherwise...
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
That's right. Also, we have the one that asks me to do this.
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
That's right. And that's what's keeping me happy right now in terms of the Auburn happy meter. Let's see. We have 76 Tiger Esquire, Sleazy Shyster, and Health Inspector Liaison for...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
That's right. Good work if you can get it there. Alex Brown, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Blend Budworth, calibrating my fun meter in the back booth of...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
I wonder if that's David Housel. Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby, free throws are expensive. Mark has our random sound clip for this week. I never prepare for this. It's always like in a hurry. I'm going to go with this week. You know what? Let's do this.
Freeze. Freeze. Ice. Freeze. Ice. Winter. 5 frozen. Ice. Freeze. Winter ice. Ice. Freeze. Winter. Winter. Freeze. Cold. Frosty.
I love Frosty at the end. That's so good.
Cold.
Frosty? It's worth it just for that very last one. Oh, my goodness. Thank you again, Mark. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Junior Rose Green. Hey, Junior Rose Green, who knew? Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Logan, Mickey B. No one fights like Gaston. Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Warhammer 6, WDE Richie, whoever stole my depression medication, I hope you're happy now. God, I tell you what, man. These folks are making me feel better about my jokes. That's the other latest fad that's catching on now is people putting bad jokes in their name.
Some of them are not bad.
No, they're not. Wes Atkinson, what? Wes Atkinson, and then what do you call a beehive without an exit? Unbelievable. It just gets better and better.
All right, I like that.
All right. Why can't we have nice things? I'm pretty sure I know what they're referring to. William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Win Carroll, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, the real Boris the Tiger, what? Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, of course. Remind me someday to tell the story of why Boris says what. I don't know if you've noticed, but Boris always says what. And there's a reason. And one day I'll tell what it is. Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Dibama, Josh Teal, just wait till next year, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone. My Auburn fun meter is stuck at zero until Hugo Sleaze is gone. Hashtag make Auburn fun again. I remember just now, by the way, John, that I did not play the closing segment of the Auburn fun meter. There's an opening and a closing segment, but we transitioned on into other topics and I never got to play it. So we'll unveil it next week. Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donor, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man as a winter jacket made of Mediterranean flatbread. It's called a Peter Parker. Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, at the Mad Reaper Company. I'm sorry. At the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. Oh, I got me some crystal hot sauce this week. And so I'm going to do a YouTube video sampling all the different hot sauces I have. And I'll let you all know next week if I do that, if I post that. That should be fun. Alex Wynn, Ben Amos, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzane, I'm missing my category, Mr. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, and finally, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Britt Rains always points out that the barbecue...
You have failed me for the last time.
Probably not, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for life. Mark Squire, MVP captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the half-things leaf.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. My bracket is busted, but I'm still Tiger, exclusive mouse catcher for...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage!
Yeah! New York Tiger does not have Albie's hat, or does he?
We can neither confirm nor deny.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Right. But I'm glad that somebody is thinking about Albie's missing hat. In fact, my wife asked me this afternoon, she said, did Albie ever get his hat back? I said, not that I've heard. Can you imagine that Albie got through celebrating with those graduates and he turned around to get his hat and he looked around and he looked around and you know what the whole auditorium heard? Yeah, that's all they heard. It's sad. It's sad. Anyway, let's see. Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. I am at the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
Clap for while you can, the monkey boy.
That's right. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis. I rearranged the soundboard a little bit, added some things, took some things off. So I said I would... give you guys kind of a hint of what all is on here. And I've hit most of the new things already now, except for the fun meter outro. Steven Thompson, Slinko Family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, why are you booing John? He's right. Will the Auburn fun meter be...
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming.
During the football season. Seems like it. And Brant Rumble, plus our one-time anonymous donors. Thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. Well... You know what time it is, John.
Guess the game. Who
can it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the Art Sale Artist, here with Guess the Game 93. Guess the Game 93 is brought to you by Logan Chilton. Let's see what Logan sent in.
The concussions, they're playing the true freshman out there, getting a lot of time, as well as
ball out after he was hit by. And Auburn has recovered the fumble and taken it back the other way. There is a flag down on the field. The linebacker with a stiff arm. What a play. Dives for the touchdown. Flag comes out on that too.
And you hear, you see, devastate with a stiff arm under the chin. And then no reason for that. Everybody knows the rule nowadays in college football. The touchdown stands, but that's a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
Okay, let's start where we always do. Who were those announcers?
Those were like the announcers from the heck did it go? Yeah,
it was like that was like the D minus crew on ESPN.
It's gone. Did I erase accidentally?
Holy cow! Oh my God!
That's not what I.
Oh my God!
That's what I'm saying right now. Is I can't find the 11 o'clock. Holy cow!
Well, we just have to answer it then, Ben. We have to get the answer.
I know, but I'm just like, I realize I've brought the show to a screeching halt here for this, but I that's one of my cherished homegrown sound effects. And I think I've accidentally, I moved it. There it is. Yeah, okay. To reset, those announcers sounded to me like they came from
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
That's, and by the way, you can tell that's like one of the first ones that I did. Because there's no screaming, there's no nuclear explosions. It kind of got a little out of hand after a while.
Sometimes simpler is better.
That one's very simple compared to...
All right. We're back at the football game.
Okay, all right.
The other team is playing an inexperienced quarterback maybe because of concussions.
Of concussion, I got that, yes.
And we know because of the announcers it's not a big game. Therefore, it must be a home game. So we're not playing some chump team on the road. And the other team turns it over, and an Auburn linebacker runs it in and gets a personal foul on the touchdown.
First, like a stiff arm, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
That's not – it wouldn't be – those announcers wouldn't have been like for Auburn, Florida in 01, right, where – or 06, where – you remember in 06 we little ball of hate knocked Tebow, but the other quarterback knocked him down, took the
Chris
ball.
Leak.
Yeah.
I think this is, again, I think because of these announcers, this was a bad team we were playing. Okay. Yeah. So this is going to make it harder. This was a, you know, Jacksonville State, Mercer level team.
The only quarterback,
one double A team.
The quarterback I remember that had a concussion was like Florida State back in like 1990, but this was newer than that.
It ain't that.
Yeah.
I think we got to go to the hint file.
Yeah, I think we got to. This is a good one.
Here we are in the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and give it another listen.
The concussions, they're playing the true freshman Holsey out there. Mincy's getting a lot of time, as well as Parisi.
Ball out after he was hit by McNeil. And Auburn has recovered the fumble and taken it back the other way. There is a flag down on the field. Bates, the linebacker, with a stiff arm. What a play! Bates dives for the touchdown. Flag comes out on that, too.
So Darren Bates.
And you hear, you see Bates devastate Jeremy Morrison with a stiff arm under the chin. And then no reason for that. Everybody knows the rule nowadays in college football. The touchdown stands, but that's a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Okay. I'll see you guys in the answer file.
So Darren Bates, Jonathan Mincy.
Darren Bates, Jonathan Mincy, DeMarco McNeil, Robinson Threezy.
Yeah. So that's just a few years ago, right? Wasn't that a Tuberville squad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But a later one, I think.
Yeah, but a later one. So, how do you feel about Nebraska in that bowl game? Like in 06?
Did we score a touchdown in that game?
I think the defense maybe did.
Okay.
That was that period where the defense was having to do everything. I'm currently reading Al Borges' book, and he says that one of the reasons Tuberville fired him was he told him the defense was having to do too much, which I don't disagree with in 06 and 07. You know, we've talked about how the 06 team won with defense. If they'd had any offense, that'd have been a national championship caliber team. So that's the only thing I can think of. Beyond that, I don't know.
So I like the Nebraska one because it was also, you know, a bowl game. Maybe it was on a weird network, and that explains the announcers too. Yes. So I like that.
And it wasn't a huge, loud Auburn Jordan Hare crowd, but it wasn't quiet either.
That's all right.
So we're going to say 2006 Nebraska. Here we go.
Here we are in the answer file. So if you guys figured out that this is Auburn playing New Mexico State in 2012, then you got it. There's not a lot of plays I can pick from in 2012, but that's one. And I want to thank Logan Chilton for sending it in. If you'd like to be like Logan and send in a play for Guess the Game, I can be found in lots of places. I am at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly. It's Jared, J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, man, John,
well, I was never going to get a 2012 win. much like the 2012 team.
That is why that's so good, because it's like he only picks wins. He would never pick a 2012 game.
Yes. New Mexico.
So Logan Chilton and Jared, that's a great call. And I think that's the worst we have ever done on a Guess the Game.
Even within and, 5 years.
And we're number 500 to Guess the Game. That's probably the worst one we've ever had.
We weren't
if
even
you got
five
that
years.
At home, I want to hear about it.
Yeah. Good deal. Good job, gentlemen. All right, I'm going to go ahead and delete that one and burn it and burn the tape. All right. All right, let's see.
Edit it, make it sound like we got it.
Yeah. We'll be like, dang, John, I have no idea, but I bet it's 2012 New Mexico. Let's go to the hint file. All right, I think it's time.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Wrong! All right, what we got?
We asked listener questions, and the listeners delivered. Number one, this is War Eagle Moment from Bill Miner, who says, guys, I was away traveling in Europe recently, and I wondered where some of the most interesting places you got a War Eagle moment in your travels. I've gotten a War Eagle in at least England, Italy, Germany, New Zealand, and Japan, and all had their unique ways and circumstances overseas. So has anybody ever said War Eagle to you in a unique place?
That's a really good question. But honestly, what's always funny to me is I go to unique places and I see people in Auburn gear in those exotic places, and I say War Eagle to them, and they look at me like I'm crazy, like they never heard of it before. That's like almost every single time. I've quit saying War Eagle just because I feel like an idiot when they look at me and I go, well, you're wearing an Auburn hat. Oh, I found this in the trash. Seriously, somebody said that to me. I found this in the trash. Put it on. Great. That's cool, man. Great story. What about you? You've been all around.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten War Eagle sometimes. I mean, we used to laugh at that commercial where it happens because we laugh because it happened to us. Like it happens to me. Rome, in Rome, Italy, I got War Eagle.
Oh, wow. Hey, you War Eagle, huh? You big American dummy.
I got to think about this one, but that's a good one. Our next email is from Larry, who says, listen to last week's podcast today. The ACC Florida State story, it got me thinking the SEC needs to change or alter their logo or slogan. I'm thinking it just means more dollar signs. Any ideas?
That's
signed Weagle 87 Larry.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think it's almost understood, right? We don't even need to put it on there because everyone understands. Let me quickly say this. The best thing about getting war-eagled in exotic places, though, and for me that's just like not Alabama or Georgia, the best thing about it over the years has been if I was with a girlfriend or my wife now, because like early on with girlfriends or early on with my wife, it kind of blows their mind. Because I remember my girlfriend, like 22 years ago, when we first started dating, somebody war-eagled us, and she looks at me and goes, "You're like some kind of cult." I said, "Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes, that's right. But it's a good one, not a weird one like some places we could name." So
that's right. All right. Next question's from Tim Sauls, who says, "Hey, guys, here I go again with a new nickname." And he says, "My take on Keldrick Gunpowder Falk, as in Guy Fawkes Day in England, met mixed reviews."
It did. Says, it's a little still stretch, but yeah.
"What do you think about Jack linebacker Jalen Highlander McLeod?"
Oh, yeah. Dude, I need a Highlander clip on the board. How do I not have?
Well, he says you could use the "There Can Be Only One."
Absolutely. "There can be only one." I could use the Queen quote.
Anyway, I believe I'm done on nicknames now. I will leave the obscure or arcane historical and pop culture references to Van. As always, love the pod, Tim Sauls.
Oh, Tim, great. I appreciate. No, that's good. I'm 100% down with Highlander. Anything Highlander, yeah. That's a good one. In fact, I first saw the first Highlander movie, and arguably the only Highlander movie, in Auburn my freshman year. I remember coming in. And my roommates and some of their buddies, that was like my first quarter there. They'd been there for a while, for about 6 months, and I started in the spring. So my first quarter in the spring, a bunch of people all came over, like, "What are we doing?" And they're like, "We're going to watch Highlander. This is this awesome new movie." And they had the VHS tape, and we watched it, and it was awesome. Do you remember when you first saw it?
Probably something like that. It was mind-blowing at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It holds up okay. Not super, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Still fun, though. All right. Next email is from Steve Houston, who says, "A listener fact check." Mm. He says, "Hello, I listened to another podcast that I listened to, obviously one inferior to Wishbone, ends each episode with a fact check. I find that terribly annoying, yet here I am offering the same to AE Wishbone.
All right.
You mentioned that Freeze had ties to Lipscomb in Nashville in regards to a particular recruit. As far as I could tell, he doesn't have strong ties to that school, which makes his recruiting there even more impressive. The school in Tennessee he is connected to is Briarcrest in Memphis.
Okay.
Briarcrest's list of alumni include Michael Oher from The Blind Side, and less notably, me. While I was in high school there, Coach Freeze coached women's basketball, was assistant coach for football, and eventually inherited the football head coaching position. Coach Freeze also taught my geometry class.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to watching our receivers run routes and QB passes this fall, thinking of the angles of their trajectories while remembering Coach Freeze teaching us geometry fundamentals and his uniquely Southern delivery. I still use his mnemonics to remember that sine equals opposite over hypotenuse and cosine is adjacent over hypotenuse regularly as an engineer." War Eagle, Steven.
Wow, that's awesome. That reminds me of a quick line. I'm a big fan of H.W. Brand's history books, biographies, right? Like Traitor to His Class about FDR. And I've watched a few of his talks that he does at various presidential centers and presidential museums and universities and around the country. And he had this really good line where he says, "A lot of people don't like history because of the way it was presented to them when they were younger." He says, "If you ask a lot of people about who was their history teacher in high school, they'll say, 'Well, I don't remember his last name, but his first name was Coach.'" Which I thought was pretty fair. Good. Yeah.
All right. We have a couple more here. The next one's from Jim McCrory, who says, "With the 11 four-star players added via the transfer portal, where does Auburn stand in regard to the blue chip ratio? What percentage of Auburn's current roster is 4 or 5-star players?"
Oh, yeah.
Jim, I do not know the answer off the top of my head, but I will get it for a future episode. But I remember we talked about this. We were right up against it when the worst of the attrition was going on. And now I believe we are solidly in the blue chip ratio. It'll be in good shape. It'll be interesting to see where we end up with all these 4-star additions.
And that means that we can.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up.
That's right.
Understand me?
Yes.
We back up.
I was a little worried that we were going to fall off that cliff, and it's a fact that once you fall off that cliff, you're not going to win anything big until you get back up on it. So that's good.
All right. Our next email is one you may have been waiting on. It's from Cato, In regards to the softball team, he says, "Hey, fellas, just a quick note on the softball front. You can't complain that you deserve to host the regional and then turn around and lose to the lowest seeded host team in the regionals. Despite all the message board whining, 17th was exactly where we deserved to be. Great effort from Penta pitching 1.5 games of the doubleheader on Sunday. But after we lost 7-0 in our first game against Clemson, an early exit was all but inevitable. Y'all know my stance, so I'm not going to hammer it too much and instead turn to the funniest result from the regionals. Two-seeded UCLA was 52-5 coming to the regionals, with one of those losses being in the Pac-12 championship game. They were a prime position to make a deep run, and instead they went 0-2 and were eliminated from their own regional without even playing the team that ended up winning it. At least we're not them. Thanks, Cato, the UCLA hater."
Wow, that's impressive. We could put a name to his segment and call it Softball Questions with Cato. Get it?
I like it.
Yeah, Softball Questions with Cato the Barner. All right.
The next email is from Scott Crankton, who says, "Gentlemen, which of the following Auburn fan curse scenarios will likely come to fruition? Number one, after sweeping Missouri last weekend and winning their last 9 games, Auburn baseball is bounced out of the SEC tournament by the same Missouri team on the first day. Two, an illicit video will result in the expulsion of one or more of Auburn's best football players for the start of the season. Three, counting on the return of Jani Broome, he instead opts for the G League or some professional league in the Balkans. Or number four, some other soul-crushing event we can't even imagine. Respectfully, Scott Crankton."
That would actually drag my Auburn fun meter down below 8. I think I'd be pretty upset.
Any of those things?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's quite the litany of doom there.
It is. It's a little concerning.
And the thing about the baseball team, that would be exactly what the basketball team would do. Dang it.
Yes.
So, man, we got a lot of listener questions tonight. We got any more?
We got a couple more.
Couple more.
Again, we asked and they delivered.
Keep them coming.
And a couple of them said, save these for future episodes, so I'm doing that.
All right.
This one is from the E2C Network, and they said, "Thoughts on the edge or jack position? Seems like a complete changeover with Hall, Leota, and Brooks gone, then 5 new ones coming in, and it is a completely new position." And we talked about Singh earlier. McLeod, I think, is the guy I'm most excited about. We already had the Vanderbilt transfer, but I think he's a little more of a plugger, a little bit like the guy we had last year as the one-year transfer who could come in and just kind of hold the line a little bit. But I think it's really going to be the young freshman and then McLeod from the Appalachian State transfer who are really making things happen there. But I feel, honestly, I was very worried about that position when we lost our two players to the NFL, and I think – I think we're going to be solid there. I don't know if we're going to be great, but I think it's not going to be a crisis.
Yeah, right? I've heard it said that we're like one edge rusher away from being a really competitive SEC West team. Without him, we're going to struggle a little bit, and I understand that. If we can't get much pressure on the passer, that's going to suck a little bit, and that, again, as we know, that puts pressure on everybody else. So we'll have to see what they can do. I mean, I'm not sold yet on our defensive staff. I didn't love A-Day from that perspective. And they're going to have to show me something.
All right, we got two more. Quick. The first one is, the subject line is, "Where's my old-timey soundboard music?" And he says, this is again from Cato. He says, "Hey, fellas, double email and not technically Auburn-related anymore, but I wanted to call out good old Joey Gatewood, who just committed to Louisville as a tight end, his fourth school and third position in 6 years."
What?
"Keep in mind, Gatewood saw the field as a quarterback at Auburn while Bo Nix was still in high school.
I don't know
what you do with the information, but there you go. Thanks,
wow.
Cato, the soundboard enabler."
I do. I mean, he just gave us the facts. How do you?
That is stunning.
I honestly had no idea he was even still in college anywhere. He's one of those guys that somehow just going with Gus just didn't work out for him. It just like the quarterback, back in 2011 or whatever, 12, the five-star quarterback we got that ended up doing nothing. Yep. And then Jeremy Johnson. And, I mean, there's just a whole handful of players, particularly the quarterback position, that Gus brought in, the kid from the Last Chance U. I mean, there's just a long line of quarterbacks that we brought in during those 8 years that just disappeared. They just I don't understand it, really. I'm not sure.
All right. And our last emails from Auburn Elvis, who's his title of the email says, I'm with Cato. And he says, with Auburn's softball's Bree Ellis entering the transfer portal, fire that bum Mickey Dean.
Well, all right. One last quick stop here because we got a couple of things I just want to touch on briefly and we'll be out of here.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
You can't be serious, man.
So just a couple of things, neither of which are in the SEC, but they are kind of around the football world. We touched on the ACC situation last week, mainly just so I could laugh at the thought that Florida State getting less money than Central Florida for their TV rights and wanting to leave the ACC. That was funny. That is so funny. And now, on top of the ACC drama continuing, you got like 7 ACC teams now wanting to leave their own conference. Right. This is turning into when Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus declared independence from the Soviet Union. You're like, you know, the Soviet Union would have been left with like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Armenia. The ACC is going to be left with the Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Armenia of the ACC, which is like Wake Forest and you know, Duke and whoever in football, you know, those guys. So I find it, and Boston College, I find it all, and Syracuse, I find it all very, very entertaining. Let me throw one more thing at you here and then you can react. But meanwhile, we have a whole new thing breaking out with the Big Ten. Oh, Big Ten. So apparently this is my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong, if I don't state this correctly. My understanding is that their former, now gone commissioner negotiated them this big, amazing, incredible financial deal with NBC, I believe. And then
and Fox.
Yeah, and he's like, thank you, and he walks out the door to tumultuous cheers. And even the SEC is like, dang, man, yo, right? And now, come to find out, like the new commissioner shows up on his first day of work, more or less, and finds out that they haven't signed these contracts and that there's this big sticking point. There's a number of big sticking points, but one of them is that the Big Ten teams don't like to play night games. And they'd put it in the contract that they were going to play big TV games at night. And they're like, not with us. And so NBC's like, well, if we can't have a primetime Ohio State Michigan game or something, then we ain't giving you all this money. And so it's all crashing down.
And I think he double promised the Big Ten championship game to both Fox and NBC. Both in some future year, both networks thought they were getting
that. When they get him on the stand at some future date, he's going to be all like,
well, I'm not a crook.
They're going to be like,
wrong.
All right. I have two responses. Number one is, based on what you just said, would you put out a tweet earlier this week that you were revising the soundboard? There was a lot of angst.
There was a remarkable amount of angst over it.
So I just need to speak for the listeners here and our concern for the soundboard and make sure, because there were some concerns, you know, did you do away with the Hate Week ones?
Well, they were never on there. I bring them in and when football season starts.
Okay, but I mean, we need to be able to play the Hate Week ones occasionally. You didn't do away with no. They're celebrating around the corner.
No! I'm devastated! I'm devastated! They're celebrating right in front of me! This is the worst! No!
There you go.
And you never do away with smoke weed every day.
Oh, I mean,
smoke weed every day.
That's the foundation. That's the top left corner of the soundboard.
Okay. I'm just making sure. People were concerned. Yeah, I'm speaking for the concerned.
Public service that you're doing. I know. Like I said, and they're all in the folder, so I can swap them back in. I keep all the I keep the hate week ones in there. Kind of like Photoshop, how you do it. They're layers, you know? So I can take different pieces out without interfering with other pieces. They're not MP3s. They're in layers. And I can go in and change out the teams, change out the sound effects. So those are all sacrosanct. They're not going anywhere.
Okay. The other thing, I just prepare yourselves. Some point soon, we're going to learn about the SEC scheduling model.
Yeah.
Sometime in the next 2 weeks, I believe, we will know the answers to this. And then we're going to do an episode where that's all we talk about. So just brace yourself.
And if they do me wrong again, if they make us have to play 12 years in between going to Missouri, man, I'm going to drive down to Hoover. And when they come walking by in the Winfrey, I'm going to be like,
there they are. Are they not a shame on their country?
Yeah, on their conference. Darn right.
No. In either model, we're going to play at Missouri every couple of years.
You better.
I think the problem is going to be, are we going to play Georgia, Alabama, and Florida or something?
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for this week. We will see you guys next week. All right, so I guess our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.